On Midwest Week, why Iowa needs more minority teachers. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Megan Valley, reporter for the Quad City Times. Recently, you wrote a story on why doesn't Iowa have more black teachers, and what prompted that?
Yeah, so I was at a school board meeting in Davenport, and they were talking about disproportionality. And one of the sort of solutions that a board member asked about was whether that could be helped by increasing the number of teachers they had who weren't white. And the HR director, Erica Goldstone, said that, you know, they had made these efforts in the past and it just hadn't been very successful because of Iowa's licensure process. So I started calling other large, more urban districts in Iowa to see if they had had similar problems, and they echoed those sentiments.
Okay. And why is it, in general, why is it important for Iowa districts to hire minority teachers?
So a lot of the larger districts that I looked at, and, you know, they're in Waterloo, they're in Des Moines, they're in Davenport, they have students who aren't white. They have more students who aren't white. And a lot of studies will show that, especially the Johns Hopkins ones, will show that it's good for them to have a role model who looks more similar to them, someone that they can identify with, someone who might understand a little bit more about what the culture is at home in their neighborhoods. It's just easier for them to connect with those teachers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we know it's a good reason to have them. So why can't Iowa recruit them, or why does Iowa have a difficult time?
Mm-hmm. So right now, the way that Iowa's licensure process is structured, it's very difficult for teachers to come in from out of state, which means that those districts that are looking to recruit those teachers, they're really being restricted by the schools that are in Iowa. In those schools, of course, they're making their own efforts to diversify their students and to attract more minority students. But while they're doing that, these districts, there's not really a temporary solution for them to do while those other institutions are making those same efforts.
And so what is it with the certification process that's so hard? I mean, do they have to have special degrees or some other certification that other states don't require?
So a lot of states, there's a process that you have to go through to get your licensure transferred. It's pretty common, whatever test that state requires. In Iowa, it's the Praxis test. They'll require you to take and pass that test. In Iowa, it's a little bit different because they'll actually go through your transcript and it'll go course by course to see what those descriptions are and see if it was fulfilling those same requirements. It's also interesting because there's no accounting for age or when you had those credentials. So if you graduated in 2000 and you're trying to transfer in 2019, there's been a lot of changes made to what's required of Iowa teachers in that time. And so an older teacher will still be expected to have those same qualifications and have that same coursework. Meanwhile, if you were educated in Iowa and you have a license from Iowa from 2000, there's not really that same push to get those same credentials other than continuing education.
Now, do other states have requirements as strict as Iowa's, or does Iowa stand out somehow?
So other states have requirements, and there's difficulties in a lot of states. It's not really all that simple to transfer from any state to a different state. Mm-hmm. I think in Iowa, the district leadership that I talked to, they do seem to think that Iowa is more stringent, that they are a little bit stricter than some of these other states, and they're certainly stricter than some of the bordering states.
Now, this has nothing to do with the minority teachers, but you call out the Davenport superintendent a good illustration of this problem. Why is that?
Right. So he had been a superintendent in Wisconsin for more than a decade. And when he was coming in, had already been hired by the school board, and he was getting ready to get started and have that licensure transferred. He had to take several classes over the summer. I believe he took them over the course of a month. There was four or five classes that he had to take in order to do that. He had gone through an alternative licensure program in Wisconsin, but before that, he was also licensed through Loyola in Illinois. So those are two bordering states where he was qualified. Had years of experience, but still had to go through coursework in order to work in Davenport.
So there isn't really sort of a reciprocal agreement that says if you're okay to teach in Illinois, you could be okay to teach in Iowa?
So some of the states where they have, there's levels of licensure based on experience. And so there's a little bit more leniency with that for teachers. For administrators, that sort of licensure doesn't really exist.
Oh, so that's stricter wherever you go.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the suggestions is grow your own. And what does that mean?
Yeah, so grow your own is something that all the districts that I talked to said that they were working on. And there's really sort of two different versions of that. One is looking at minority staff that you already have, whether they're paras, whether they're working in anywhere else in the school that's not in a teaching role and working with them to try to get them to become a teacher. That one's a little bit more difficult because it is more expensive and they're already an adult. And then the other version of Grow Your Own is looking at the students that you have and sort of giving them opportunities and giving them mentorship to expose them to what education can be as a career and to encourage them to go into it.
Okay. Now, you also wrote recently, Megan, about the Davenport schools called something, Who Represents You? And where did that come from?
Yeah, so I was at a meeting that they had for people who are interested in running for school board, and I met a man who was from Bluegrass, and I was talking to the board secretary, and I asked if anyone from, you know, Buffalo, from Walcott, from these areas had been on the school board before, and she said not in her memory, and she had been there for several years. So I went through, and I was just trying to track and see, you know, especially in Davenport with some of these, you know, these rural communities that aren't in the city of Davenport proper, just to see how many of them had been on the school board or how many had even run in the first place.
What does it matter if the board members are elected at large or by district? Is that sort of what you're leaning toward in this too?
Yeah, and so a lot of districts across the state, they have different versions of doing this, and it really does seem to be a matter of preference for, really just a matter of preference for what that community wants.
I mean, yeah. Would it make a difference if board members were elected by district versus at large, say in Davenport or somewhere?
It might be. The other problem that you run into is in a district like Pleasant Valley, where they do have the districts. They've said that in the past, some years it can be hard to get someone from that particular district to run. So on the one hand, you might be able to guarantee some sort of representation, and whether that's the most important form of representation on the board is an entirely different question. But yeah, if there's a community where maybe they don't have anyone because they're just not engaged as much, that they're not as interested in running, then that can be a different challenge.
So do people in Bluegrass and Buffalo feel somehow left out that they've never had someone on the Davenport School Board?
I don't know. I mean, well, this year there was someone who was interested in running, and I don't recall if he actually filed the paperwork. But, I mean, if you look at some of the discussions that they've had in the past about, you know, becoming a sort of a separate district or maybe getting another school for a high school out there, I think that sort of shows that they feel maybe a little bit disconnected from the rest of the district since it's just so large.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, the Bettendorf School District recently did a survey about districts versus at large. What did they learn?
Yeah, so they ahead of the general obligation bond this past fall, as part of the phone survey that they did to talk to voters, they asked about whether anyone was interested in having the district be districted. And there were approximately 300 responses. And most of them said no, or they just didn't feel strongly about doing it. But there were a lot of people who just didn't really understand or indicated that they didn't understand or just didn't really care. And so I'm not sure if it's something that a lot of people understand, but it was a small sampling that they talked to.
And can we point to any difference between Davenport and Bettendorf versus Pleasant Valley? You know, Pleasant Valley has people elected by districts and the other two at large. I mean, can we see any impact of that difference or not?
I think it's hard to compare the three districts because they're so different demographically, just as far as their sizes, what their focuses are. And so I don't know if I think it's hard to attribute any differences to that in particular. I think it's really just a matter of how the community is engaged and what they're prioritizing for their school board.